Bruchim Abon, everybody. Welcome
to tonight's Monday night Parsha class. This week's Parsha is Parsha's Balak. Today's date is Yud Beis Tammuz Tavshin Pei Beis, corresponding with the English calendar, July 10th, 2022. The title of this Parsha that I'm going to be dwelling on, the story that surrounds Bilam and Balak and all of the interesting details that occurred, would be best labeled with the title, The Torah Perspective of a Jew Surviving in Golus in the Diaspora and Recognizing His Rich and Beautiful Heritage, the one that we truly have. To give a proper introduction to the story of Parshas Balak, it's important to have the proper perspective. And I've decided to mention a pasuk in Tehillim Tzadik Beis, this Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbos. There's a pasuk that speaks about David HaMelech. This explanation that I am sharing with you, I heard more than 50 years ago from a mashkiach by the name of Rabbi Wernick, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, in Chicago, where Rabbi Wernick was a mashkiach in Beis Medrash LaTorah in Skokie, Illinois, and on occasion he would visit Telz Yeshiva, and the Rosh Yeshiva honored him exceedingly with a chance to say Devar Torah to all of the boys in the yeshiva. And I remember him quoting the following pasuk: "Vatabet eini b'shuroi." David HaMelech is saying, "My eyes have seen my vigilant foes. Bakomim olai mireim, when my enemies stand up against me, tishmana oznoi, my ears pay special attention to their doom and their accusations." What is happening over here? David HaMelech is talking about his enemies pursuing him and trying to kill him. Despite their efforts, they accuse him of doing all sorts of different crimes which are not true. However, he pays special attention to their accusations because he knows that there may be a kernel of truth in any one of their complaints. And therefore, David HaMelech, being the Melech of Klal Yisrael, with his midos are so exemplary, teaches us that he is paying attention to their accusations so that he could try to figure out maybe one kernel of truth, and that would be something that he would be able to help and correct. Even though that his enemies are tossing and hurling all sorts of lies, but they couldn't be successful without an ounce of truth. So he pays careful attention to their complaints, because maybe there is a kernel of truth. He always is looking to improve himself. Perhaps this is a good introduction to Parshas Balak, which talks about Bilam HaRasha trying to destroy the Jewish people. The greatest enemy that the Jewish people ever had was Bilam HaRasha. He wanted to demolish them, destroy them, not only from this world, but from Olam Haba. And therefore, we're going to hear some of the things that the Parsha will speak about, and we could derive a tremendous amount of chizuk by distilling some of the discussion of Bilam HaRasha. So important is Parshas Balak that the Gemara in Brachas, the Afyud Beis Amid Beis, says the following quote: Bikshu Lekvoa Parshas Balak B'Krishma. The Chachamim wanted the Jewish people to include the Parsha of Balak, the one that we're going to be reading this week, in the Birchas Krishma. Krishma is after Baruch Hu, and that goes together with Krishma. They wanted to include Parshas Balak because there are so many important and basic fundamental concepts that they wanted to include it in the Krishma. However, Umipne Malo Kibua, why did they not settle in to be part of the Birchas Krishma? Says the Gemara, Mishum Toreach Shel Tzibur. The Tircha, not to be Toreach the Tzibur, not to overburden the congregation with another parsha to read. So we have to understand what are these two elements. Element number one, the kernel of truth in Bilam's talking about the Bnei Yisrael, and the reason behind the Chachamim wanting to include the Parshas Balak in Birchas Krishma. So to be able to do this justice, I think the first thing we have to do is get started with the Parsha and understand the story as we read it in our Chumash. We know that Parsha begins with the story where Balak was hired by the members, the Ziknei Midian, at the time where they saw that Bnei Yisrael was getting so close to them, and they were petrified that they were going to attack them. This was after they destroyed their two most powerful supporters, that was Sichon Melech Emori and Og Melech HaBashan, two extremely powerful countries, and they were destroyed, and now they were terrified and petrified. So they did not know what to do, and they were disorganized, so they hired a king by the name of Balak. Balak investigated where is the power, what should they do, how could they fight against the Jewish people. Balak inquired, this great leader Moshe, where is his power? So they said, the power of Moshe is in his mouth. Whatever he says, he blesses, he can curse. Whatever he does, it's in his mouth. And he has performed so many miracles, the splitting of the sea, the 10 plagues, all the miracles that are known to the world, he has done by praying and using his mouth. So Balak said, in that case, we could perhaps go and look for the assistance of Bilam HaRasha, because Bilam is also a prophet, and he also uses his mouth to bless or curse. Whatever he says comes true, and therefore that was the plan at hand. They went with Balak sent a group of honorable people with lots of money and all their tools for doing their witchcraft and their magic and their tumadika work that produces their curses and so forth, and they came to look. They looked for Bilam, and they discovered Bilam. He was on the Nohar, As they sent Malachim El Bilam Ben Vaor Pesora Asher Al Hanohar Eretz Bnei Amay Likrei Loi, they went ahead and they tried to reach Bilam, and they discussed the problem that we are petrified from the Jewish people. We'll hire you to curse the Jewish people. He right away said, I can't curse the Jewish people. God will not let me do that. They are a blessed people. And he says, still, I will try to find out, stay overnight. This was a group of Ziknei Midyan and Ziknei Moav, and he told them to stay overnight. And as the Torah tells us, Hashem informed Bilam that you cannot curse the Jewish people, as the pasuk says, "Vayomer Elokim el Bilam." Hashem said to Bilam, "Lo se'elik imoyim, do not go with them. Lo so'o es ha'am, do not curse the people. Ki baruchu, because they are a blessed people." So he refused, and the group went back to Balak and said that Bilam refused to want to curse. So he says, maybe it's because that there's not enough of the honorable people. Maybe I'll give you a better entourage of more honorable people to go and try to convince him. And he sent another group. And again, he said, I am not able to do it unless God gives me permission. And he decided to move along and try his luck to try to go and see if he can curse the Jewish people. We're familiar with the story that he went, even though he knew that God was not happy with this. And as he went, he was on his donkey, and we're familiar with the story that as he was riding with his donkey, he didn't see anything up ahead of him, but the donkey did. It was a malach with a fiery sword, and the donkey was petrified, and he stopped in his track. And he didn't understand, Bilam didn't understand why he stopped, and he beat the donkey once. Then the donkey went further. This time it was near the walls of a vineyard, and the malach was at the other end of the wall, and he brushed him against the wall, and again he beat him, and finally, the donkey went further ahead until he couldn't go any further. It was too close to the malach, and he beat him a third time, and all of a sudden Hashem opened up the eyes of the malach, and he saw the malach. But before the malach was revealed, the donkey, by miracle, spoke to Bilam for the first time and asked him, why did you beat me these three times? Have I ever done something like this before? And he said, no. And all of a sudden, Hashem opened up his eyes and he sees this fiery malach in front of him, and he fell off his donkey, bowed down, and pleaded not to be hurt. Again, malach said, do not do anything what God doesn't want you to do, and off they went. And so, even though that Bilam knew very clearly that Hashem was completely against his wishes, nevertheless, he attempted to go and curse the Jewish people as best as he could. And from here we learn out, Bederach she'adam rotzo leilech, malichin otzo, in the way a person wants to be led, Hashem will lead him. Hashem didn't stop him. He could have put a mountain in his path. He wouldn't be able to go. Hashem didn't stop him. And he continued on with the Ziknei Moav together with him. At that point, Balak joined them, and he said, how come you're not doing what I asked you? I'm offering you a whole room of gold and silver. Why aren't you doing it? He said, again, I can't do anything that a God, Hashem, doesn't want me to do. However, I will try. And he makes the first attempt. The first attempt is at a place where he goes and he tells his Ziknei Moav to go prepare mizbeach with animals, to going to shecht these animals and offer and make a sacrifice, and he'll do what he can to find Hashem's moment of anger, and there maybe he'll be successful. And there, and he arrived at a place called Kiryas Chutzos. At that point, Balak went ahead and sacrificed animals, and just at that point, he was about to try to curse the Jewish people, and all of a sudden, out of his mouth came the following words, Ma ekov vokabo keil, how can I curse if the Almighty doesn't want to curse? Uma ezom lozo am Hashem, and how will I make Hashem angry if Hashem doesn't want to show his anger? Ki meirosh tzurim, from the beginning, referring to the foundation of the Jewish people. The foundation of the Jewish people is tzurim, is rock solid. Erenu, I am seeing, I look at their foundation. Umigvaos ashurenu, and from the hills do I view their righteousness. Hen om levadad, behold, a nation lives alone. Yishkom. Hen om levadad yishkom, behold, a nation who dwells alone. Uvagoyim lo yishashav, and they are not considered important among the goyim. This is one of the things he kept on, trying to curse the Jewish people. And out of his mouth came the first blessing, Hein Am Levadav Yishkom, behold, this nation lives alone by itself. It's independent from the world. And among the goyim, they're not important. And the Sefer Hamek Dovar, written by the Netziv in the Chumash, says the following on this pasuk: Lo kederech kol uma. This is not the same as all other nations. V'lashon kishaholchem v'agola u'mesavim im ha'megalim osam. Other people who go into Golis assimilate with the country and they become part of their nation. Umasigim bezer ava, and then they finally are accepted and they are loved by their countrymen. V'cheshivos kolecha be'neyam, each one is important to their eyes because they become part of their society and they contribute to their culture. Yosef more mishahoy nifrad mehem, more than they were separated. Avalo kenam Yisrael, but the Jewish people is not the same. Kishuhu levadad, they are alone. Ve'enem es'arav imohem, they do not mix with the goyim. Yishkon, they dwell separately. And this is the strength of the Jewish people. The Jewish people have their strength because they don't mix with the goyim. They are separate from the goyim. And because of that, they have become extremely powerful and capable of overcoming all difficulties. We understand there's a medrash, Tanchuma in Bahaloscha, that compares the Jewish people to Shemen Zayas. Shemen Zayas is olive oil, and olive oil cannot be mixed with water. As much as you mix the oil with the water, the oil rises to the top and the water goes to the bottom. You can't mix a Jew with a goy. You can't put a Jew and have him live in the culture of a goy. There's always to be separate. they are not to be mixed together. Hein om levadav yishkan. The Jewish people live and dwell alone. They can't be mixed with the goyim. I remember my Rebbe, Reb Chaim Dov Keller, Zeicher Tzadik Livracha, at an Aguda convention going back at least 30, 35 years. It was Pashas Vayishlach. And my Rosh Yeshiva and my Rebbe got up and mentioned the famous pasuk about Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu was attacked by the Malach of Esav. And the pasuk says, after he went back to get Pachim Ketanim, his small vessels, he went and got his vessels and was attacked by the Malach of Esav. The pasuk says, Vayivaser Yaakov Levadai, and Yaakov remained alone. And a man wrestled with him, Adalos HaShachar, until the morning hours. We know it was the Malach of Esav. So my Rebbe asked, why was that Hashem led him in such a dangerous way that none of his children were with him? He was alone, with no help, and completely by himself, had to wrestle with this malach, and we know that his life was in serious danger. Why was it not possible for him to have his children, some kind of support? And the answer, he said, this is the destiny of the Jewish people. Yaakov's problem was Yaakov's solution. The solution to Yaakov, to overcoming Esav, was Vayivaser Yaakov Levadai, that Yaakov was to be alone. The only way he was able to survive and to succeed over Esav is not with his family, not with his children, but alone, with recognizing that Hashem is in charge, and he had a daven, and he had to be mespalel and learn Torah at the moment where his life was in critical danger. And because he was put to the test, where he was alone, as the pasuk says, Vayavaseh Yaakov Levadai, Yaakov was alone, that's where he gained the strength and the success against Esav's Malach. The destiny of the Jewish people is by the Jewish people being alone, living alone, staying away from the culture of the Goyim, not having to live the lifestyle and live the daily treadmill of life, of all of the nonsense and the unfortunate stupidity of the nonsense of the world. The Jew is to stay separate, to live differently, to learn Torah, to daven to Hashem, and when he needs help, he knows who to go to. At that point, they went to another place. And there, at that other place, he looked, he tried again, he was unsuccessful. Remember, when he mentioned a blessing out of his mouth, it was with the introduction in his mind and heart is to curse the Jewish people. At this time, it didn't work. So he was going to try it another time. And at this time, you can imagine Bullock is right next to him and he's boiling angry. At this point, they continued on, and as he approached another place, they set themselves up again with Mizbechais and to see how Bilam could try to find the moment of Hashem's anger so he could curse the Jewish people again, a second attempt. Well, he tried it one more time, and again, out of his mouth came Hein Om Kalavi Yakum. Behold, It's a people that rises like a young lion and lifts itself up like a lion. You can't overcome the Jewish people. They are like a lion. And therefore, they are blessed, and there's nothing we can do. And he carries on and on with the bracha going to the Jewish people. You can imagine, at this point, Balak was already livid. I hired you to go ahead and curse the Jewish people. And not only did you not curse them, but you actually blessed them. On this pasuk, I have a sefer called Mesholim and Maisim of the Chofetz Chaim. I would like to read you what it's written about the Chofetz Chaim. Am Yisrael is a nation that is very swift to do mitzvahs, as it says at the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch about obligation of alacrity, zrizus. Be as strong as a lion to arise in the morning to serve his creator. The Chofetz Chaim would carry out every action with remarkable alacrity. Not only would he run to do a mitzvah, all his actions were done with freshness and a youthful vigor. He acted like a young boy in this sense. When he was once asked why this was, he replied, Kohanim are zrizim. I'm a Kohen. One should become accustomed to being swift at everything when you're doing your mitzvahs. For this reason, he would practice various aspects of the service of the Kohanim. The wagon drivers who transported the Chofetz Chaim on his many travels would relate how he did not let them keep the carriage still when he boarded or disembarked. Rather, he would jump on as it was moving. He explained that as a Kohen, he needed to get used to doing things at the speed necessary for the service of the Korbanos. His remarkable alacrity, his zrizus in his later years, was truly something to marvel at. He used to say, I feel like a person who was allowed to remain for another moment in the king's treasure houses, where I can collect anything that I want from the king's treasures, but at any moment I could be told to leave. That means to go back to Shemayim. The treasure house is this world, where we can gather Torah, mitzvahs, and good deeds, and at any moment we will be summoned away from the world. And this is how the Chofetz Chaim explains its pasuk, that we are like a lion. We are courageous. We do things with zrizus. We don't act as a person who is lazy when it comes to doing mitzvahs. We are swift. We are courageous like a lion. And finally, the very last attempt was Bilam's third attempt. And you can imagine at this point, Balak was about ready to explode. And at that point, Bilam tried his hardest to dig into the foundation of the Jewish people, looking to find something illicit, something evil, something sinful, so that he can begin his curse and God won't interfere. And as he dug deeper into the foundation of Klal Yisrael, and he looks around and he sees the tents are facing not opposite each other, but the doorway of each tent was opposite the closed wall of the other. In other words, each tent was observing tznius, modesty. And he was so overwhelmed that this possibly could happen. And instead of cursing the Jewish people, out came that famous tefillah that we say every morning. Matovu Alecho Yaakov Mishkenesecha Yisrael. How good are the tents of Yaakov, the dwelling places of Yisrael. The tents of Yaakov are the places of learning, Bate Midrashim, Bate Knesiyosis, and this is what he ended up blessing the Jewish people with at the point that he was about to curse them with the most severe and most critical curse he could possibly muster up. And when he saw the tzniyus of the Jewish people, out of his mouth came Matovu Alecha Yaakov, Mishkenosecha Yisrael. It's no wonder that this is the tefillah that we begin every day in our Shachris davening, to remind us that the place of a Jew is the place of Torah and in the place of a Beis HaKnesses to daven to Hashem. And it's therefore no wonder, after all said and done, why the Gemara in Brachos wanted to include the story of Bilam and Balak in the Prishma, because here the three blessings that Bilam blessed the Jewish people are happening to us now. We just have to let it take place. The blessings are in the air. The blessings are in our DNA. We just have to activate it. It's in our power to do it. The first one that we mentioned, Hein Om Levad of Yishkon, that we are a nation alone. We have to be proud that we're different than the Goyim, not to imitate the culture of the Goyim around us. We have to be proud that we're compared to a lion, that we do things with energy and with strength. We have to be proud of the fact that the source, the dynamo of the Jewish people are our ohel. Matovu ohelecha Yaakov Mishkenosecha Yisrael. How wonderful is the tent of Yaakov, the dwelling places of Yisrael. I have another story from the Chofetz Chaim, said beautifully on that last pasuk of Matovu Alecha Yaakov Mishkenosecha Yisrael. He brings down the Medrash Agada. And the Medrash Agada says, how goodly are your tents, Yaakov, and the merit that Yaakov sat in them, as it says, and Yaakov was an Ish Tam, who dwelled in the tents. The merit of Torah is what sustains a person, protects him, and gives him an abundance of blessing and success. There are all kinds of physical ailments, some of which a family doctor can heal. Other ailments require a specialist. And some conditions are so dire that only a professor who is an expert in the field can provide a remedy for them. But one thing is clear. All these treatments can be effective only as long as the person is still alive. That is, when the doctors have the ability to heal a person. But if Chalila, he has already passed away, no doctor in the world can restore him to life. However, the Torah is not like that. Even if a person has grown very distant from the Torah and his spiritual soul has departed, it is still possible to revive the soul through learning Torah and doing mitzvahs. And this will also continue as a merit in the world to come, even after he passes away, as I'm adding to this last comment. And his merits and his children and those people who has influence in the world will continue to offer his neshama radiance and blessing. Yes, Matovu Alecha Yaakov Mishkenosecha Yisrael. These words are so powerful and they're so meaningful. Our blessings and destiny of the Jewish people is to be different and to and to stay apart. And then we will be blessed. I would like to end off with something that was taken from a book written by Mark Twain. And I will read you something that he spoke about the Jewish people. And I think you will find it very important. In this book concerning the Jews, I'm going to read the following background. In 1898, Mark Twain has published The Stirring Times in Austria. Twain's account generated several letters, and one poignant response in particular from an American Jewish lawyer, who asked Twain, "Tell me, therefore, from your vantage point of cold view, what is your mind is the cause? Can American Jews do anything to correct it either in America or abroad? Will it ever come to an end? With their suffering and their mistreatment, will it ever come to an end? Will a Jew be permitted to live honestly, decently, and peaceably like the rest of mankind? What has become of the golden rule?" In response, Twain penned this book called Concerning the Jews, which Harper's also published in 1899. And I'm reading you a quote from the book. He's quoting, answering this lawyer, Jewish lawyer. "The Jew has made a marvelous fight in this world, in all ages, and has done it with his hands tied behind him. He could be vain of himself and be excused for it. The Egyptian, the Babylonian, and the Persian rose, filled the planet with sound and splendor, then faded to dream stuff and passed away. The Greek and the Roman followed and made a vast noise, and they're gone. Other peoples have sprung up and held their torch high for a time, but it burned out, and they sit in twilight now, or have vanished. The Jews saw them all, beat them all, and is now what he always was, exhibiting no decadence, no infirmities of age, no weakening of his parts, no slowing of his energies, no dulling of his alert and aggressive mind. All things are mortal but the Jew. All other forces pass, but he remains. What is the secret of his immortality?" And I answered, and I am finishing the shiur with this. It's the pasuk, "Hein om levadad yishkon." Behold, the Jewish people live alone. Uvagoyim lo yizchashev. And they don't mingle with the goyim. They don't, are not respected by the goyim. And because they are set apart, that's their strength. And that's what my Rebbe said when Yaakov fought against Esav. And Esav is the guy today. You know how you succeed? By being alone. Vayivaseh Yaakov levadoi. By being different. By being alone. That is our success. And if we don't choose to be alone, then Hashem separates us in sometimes the most cruelest and most difficult way. As Rabbi Avigdor Miller wrote in his book of the Divine Madness, how he very carefully, historically, literally, chapter by chapter, shows how the Jewish people assimilated to the Goyim, and Hashem in kind responded with very, very strong punishments. We know that assimilation started almost 200 or 300 years ago with the Reform and Conservative movement. But it kept on and on and on and on till there was a point where the Jew was almost completely assimilated. So in Europe, by the time of the Holocaust, they first started by not letting them have their students go to the regular universities. They couldn't do the same. Then they couldn't have the same businesses open. Then they couldn't be allowed in on buses and to be in certain marketplaces. Then they segregated them into ghettos. And then one thing led to the other. And even people who didn't even know that they were Jews found out that they were Jews. And Hashem reminded them. I once said, it's an old Yiddish saying, "Oy bayid machnish kiddish, macht de goy havdola." It's a cute saying. Kiddish means to make kiddish, like we make kiddish Shabbos, but we sanctify Shabbos, and we are therefore making the Shabbos day holy. But the cute comment was, if the Jew doesn't make kiddush in his lifetime, he doesn't make himself holy in his lifetime, so the goyim make havdalah. They separate you. And that's exactly what happened in during the Holocaust. It's a terrible history. And we all have that behind us. We must understand that our fate is in our hands. Blessings and the destiny is waiting to be happening. It's up to us to make the choice. The same way Hashem is said to Bilam and Moshe, "B'darach she'adam rotzo lelech malichin nisai," the way a person wants to be led, he will be led. Hashem didn't stop Bilam up to the point where his donkey spoke to him. Hashem does the same thing with us. "B'derach she'adam rotzo lelech malichin nisai." Asher's Balak is all about how Hashem is giving us an insight to the beauty, the strength, and the unbelievable zechus, merit, that the Jewish people have. That our foundation is rock solid. Our foundation is beautiful, and it's waiting to be built upon. Hashem wants us to build. He wants us to build our homes with Yiddishkeit, with Yerushalayim, with mitzvahs, and with Torah. Parshas Balak is therefore a parsha that the Chachamim wanted to put into Krishma. But at least our Chachamim gave us a little bit of an insight to Parshas Balak by starting our davening every morning with Matovu Alecha Yaakov Mishkan Asecha Yisrael. How wonderful is it, the tent of Yaakov, the dwelling places of Israel. We are capable, and we're reminded of our blessings and destiny. Let us not forget that with this in mind, we should definitely be privileged, b'korav mamish, to Hashem bringing Mashiach closer, as we say, v'sechazenu einenu b'shuvuchu l'tzion b'rachamim, let our eyes once again see the Shekhinah, and we will be privileged to the coming of Mashiach, b'meheira v'yameinu, amen.